The Gospel of Luke, which we heard from this morning, is the only one that describes this incident of the Lord coming to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Do you realize the Emmaus story, even though it happened 2,000 years ago, is really our story? Here's how. These two followers of Christ don't appear anywhere else in the gospel. We don't hear about them before or after this incident. We only know the name of one of them. Our lack of knowledge about them is an important detail for us. For here the scene shifts from the major figures of the Bible that we've been hearing about for the last few weeks, like Peter, James, John, Mary Magdalene, and Thomas. It shifts to two very ordinary people. People like us. And the Lord comes to them. The first point, then, of the Emmaus story is that the risen Christ is near to all of us, to every single Christian, because we are all important to him. As Peter says in that second reading, we are all ransomed by his very blood. These two disciples to whom the Lord came were not in Jerusalem, not in the upper room, not even near the garden tomb. They were on some ordinary road, traveling to a small village a few miles from Jerusalem. We're not even sure where Emmaus was, which teaches us that the risen Christ can join us and be part of our life wherever we are. The where of the Emmaus story is a nameless road, really any road, every road where we are, any point on the road of life, as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, a parent, or a senior citizen. It's anywhere in the world of work, that road, whatever our occupation. It's anywhere we are personally, if we're struggling with things like doubt, grief, consternation, worry, and distress. It's also with us on the road, or it is the road of joy as much as it is the road of our difficulties. Christ is there with us on that road. That's the where of the Emmaus story. The road on which they travel is our road right now, and Christ is with you as well. Evidently, these two disciples didn't see the empty tomb and didn't believe the reports they heard. Their way of coming to know Jesus was in the breaking of the bread, which is an early term for Mass. Like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, reflecting on the Bible and Mass is how most of us come to know the Lord. We don't have visions. We don't see nail prints in Jesus' hands. We don't hear our name called by the audible voice of Christ. We come to know the Lord as we enter into the sacred scriptures and the Eucharist, coming to Mass, as we gather to do what Jesus told us to do. And what is that? He says, do this in memory of me. Here, in this Eucharist and every Eucharist, is where we recognize in the breaking of the bread that the Lord is with us. The message of the Emmaus Gospel is that whoever you are, wherever you are in life, the risen Lord is near you. That's why it's so important for us to stay close to Mass in difficult times as well as in good times. We come to Mass at weddings, funerals, Christmas, and Easter. Next week, we'll be gathered here with all of our first communicants at every Mass, a beautiful, joyful, and exciting time. So we're here in the church gathering for Mass in the Eucharist, in the breaking of the bread, in the presence of Christ, we might say, in good times and in bad, in ordinary times and extraordinary times. Here, at every Eucharist, our eyes are open when we realize the Lord is really with us all the time, all along the way. Like these two disciples, we can so focus on our own problems, though, our own disappointments, our own preconceptions of how we think things should be, that we miss the bigger picture. For example, these two disciples thought they had found a political liberator in a Messiah. But Jesus revealed to them he was a crucified redeemer. They thought he would save only Israel, but Jesus came for the Gentiles as well. They could not understand pain, suffering, or catastrophe as part of the plan of God. How about you? Do you understand pain, suffering, and catastrophe as part of the plan of God? If not, most of us don't, then we are like those disciples. Jesus showed them that things like pain, suffering, or catastrophe are part of the plan of God because of what he went through. Here, in the breaking of the bread at Mass, it's a grace to be challenged through the homily. Here, through word and in sacrament, Jesus teaches us and opens our eyes to the truth that our lives are indeed part of the bigger arc of God's plan. The Mass is our Emmaus, where our eyes are open to recognize the truth about the Lord and the truth about ourselves. In this magnificent Easter appearance that we hear about in this gospel, in that small town called Emmaus, the risen Jesus showed these two disciples where he could always be found, in the breaking of the bread at Mass. And then they go out. They go out to tell others, to give witness to what they experienced. We too, after encountering Jesus here in the breaking of the bread, are sent out into the world to be his witnesses, to share him with others. At the very least, to share him with your family and friends, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, your friends. We are all called to be witnesses. Here's another aside, but very important aside to that. Some people often ask me, I should say, a lot of people ask me, how they can get to know Jesus better. Not just know about him or know of him, but to get to know him intimately. The key is this: the more we share him, the more we gain him and grow in him. Jesus tells us that several times. The more we share him, the more intimately we get to know him. If you keep him on a shelf as something you only pull down on Sunday, I'm sorry, you will never get to know him. So yes, encounter the Lord here during Mass, worship and celebrate him, then go as a witness to Jesus to tell others about him and to live your lives accordingly. Those two disciples became witnesses after they encountered Jesus at Mass. They shared their faith. As a matter of fact, we are all witnesses. That's what we heard in that first reading today. We are all witnesses. You and I are an eyewitness. This is the third week we've been talking about that. We spell it with the letter I, eyewitness, rather than E-Y-E witness, which is how that term is usually expressed because someone has seen things and they're reporting it. But we are an eyewitness, spelt with that capital letter I, because we were not there to see Jesus, but an eyewitness because you are giving witness to Jesus rising from the dead by what you tell others and by the way you live your life if you live like a true believer. Yes, if you live like a true believer, teach and tell others about Christ, you are an eyewitness. We want to help you, and to help you become an even better disciple of Jesus, and to help you to grow closer to him, this is what we want you to do. Find someone with whom you can share your faith journey. One of the easiest and best ways to share your faith and be an eyewitness is what we call three conversations. If you've been in our parish for a while, you know what that is, or at least you've heard of it before. You simply offer to pray with others, tell them a little bit about your faith journey, and encourage them to share something about their journey with you. You can review this easy conversational method, these three conversations, on our website at stmary.life/3c. Or just go to our website, stmary.life, and you'll see an image there on the homepage for three conversations. There it has the steps. It's really simple. Let's not make it complicated. If you've never shared or prayed with your spouse, friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, close friend, your kids, pray with them. Ask them to tell you something about their faith journey, and you tell something to them about your journey. Make no mistake about it. We are all witnesses sent to share our faith. How's that going for you?